join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
All right, we are live, Christina. Make sure, hey, we are close to the mic. You notice we haven't had an audio issue in a while, knock on wood. So, hey.
Yeah, don't say that.
Thanks for tuning in today. We are Tim and Christina Madden. We are your hosts of the Executive Career Upgrades podcast. We have exciting news coming up, but we can't share it as of yet, maybe like 2 weeks. But hey, we come to you live every single week helping you, you know, helping directors, VPs, and executives get the job, keep the job, and be successful at the job. And before we get started, we have a very special event that we are kicking off Tuesday, August 27th, I believe. Yes, at 7 p.m. Eastern, we're having an emergency career planning session. Yes, on Zoom. Christy can help me out and maybe drop the link in there. So, hey, here's what we've
Let's tell them why we decided to
go ahead.
Let's tell them why we decided to do an emergency career planning, you know, event. It's a you know, you guys, your career goals and your career growth is always, should always be considered urgent and emergency, right? Mm-hmm. But it's undeniable the headlines you guys are experiencing. It's coming up on multiple calls daily in our organization. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty in the marketplace, a lot of layoffs. We know inflation's out of control. We know now more than ever before, it is important to take this seriously. So if you've put this on the back burner, if you've put it off, if you've been on a call with us, you said no, you weren't ready, whatever, we want to help you create an emergency career plan to bulletproof your career and give you a blueprint to follow so that you don't have to become a victim to these negative circumstances that are happening in the market. I know people are scared. I know people are absolutely petrified and frightened. Some people are barely making ends meet. And so you guys need to take this seriously. We're going to have a fun topic today, but you have to take this seriously and get on this event, get a plan, bring a friend, and get back on track. Keep your life on track, because if you don't stand out, you will fail. You will fail. And
yeah, and that's what, you know. And for everyone already inside of our ECU program, hey, congratulations. We had 10 offers come in, 70 to 80 interviews. So the good news is ECU, if you tune it in or listen on Spotify later, hey, the good news is you are already covered. You already got a plan. You are already with a community, right? So we are super excited. But for those who don't, you know, I just want to, you know, hit on a couple more things. So 140,000 people have been laid off this year, right? Inflation, we already know. Groceries cost 50%. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and then there's a lot of stuff going on with the upcoming election. This will impact businesses. Absolutely. This will impact businesses.
So this doesn't mean you can't get hired or you won't get hired. It just means you have to stand out.
Yeah. So with that, right, we want to make sure. So here's who should attend. If everything's going great in your career, you should attend, because here's why. It's also stated that if you were let go from your job today, most people aren't prepared. Most people don't have their documents updated, their LinkedIn updated. They don't know what they target. And the last thing you want to do is be like crushed, right? Mm. And not have a plan. So if things are going great in your career, good. Always be prepared. If you're in a search right now, we're also going to be going over what is working in 2024 to land a new role, right? So we're just going to share statistical data with you of some of the people we help, some of the things we're noticing in the market. And then number third, if you're thinking about approaching a search, right, now would be the time. Now would absolutely be the time. So I think Christy, she did drop it. It is careers.execupgrades.com/planning. If you need the link, because later you listen to it on Spotify or Apple or the other 50 places on the internet, email me at tim@execupgrades.com. Most of you are connected with me on LinkedIn as well. So yeah, we're super excited about that event. Anything else to add?
Yeah. I mean, people think, so job seekers and people that, not even job seekers, like Tim said, hey, even if you're in a job that you're doing well at, that you're happy in, what people I think are in denial about is that you have to have a brand and a plan. Branding and standing out is no longer just for businesses. It's for individuals who need high-paying roles in corporate America. So if you're in a job that you love and you're listening to this, you're like, I probably won't get laid off or whatever. I'm just letting you know it can happen, right? So
no, who thinks they're getting laid off ever?
Right, like it's always a shock, right? So, yeah. But if you can pivot and you can trust that you have a network on LinkedIn and you have great connections and you're relevant in your industry and you're known, then you can actually live more confidently, you can live with less fear, and you can be more certain in your own capabilities that you have this plan. I can't stress this enough that people wait until they're crushed. Like Tim said, I know I'm repeating what you said, but I'm just rephrasing this in a way that...
Well, it's the way Grant said. You know, I remember Grant Cardone, I was in stage 5 years ago at Vegas with him, and he said, look, anyone can ask for help when they're busted, beat up, unemployed for 15 months. I'm going to go here, sorry, lost your marriage. They're about to recoup your home, bankruptcy. Right? All your cards are maxed out. Man, it's easy to ask for help then because you got nowhere else to go. The best time to get help are when things are going good.
Like when you're not desperate.
When you're not desperate. Yeah, absolutely. So we could probably talk about this for 3 hours. So, hey, we're going to pause here.
We should have called this the Emergency Career Planning Podcast episode.
We should have. Yeah.
And actually, do we have time to do one of those next week before the
we don't.
The event?
It's next Tuesday.
All right. So maybe we'll do another mini episode. Brilliant, brilliant idea. Okay, but listen.
So, be sure to register, again, careers.execupgrades.com/planning. Hey, we'd love to see you there if you don't have a plan right now, okay? ECU, do me a favor. Hey, invite some of your friends that, you know, may or colleagues, et cetera. And as always, you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. But today...
And you know, most people are scared anyway. Even when things are going great, people are living in fear, like... Then the only way out is to have a plan. So, and you guys are probably thinking, wow, what a scary topic.
Now we're going to do a radical shift and talk about today's podcast. So, hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
Today's episode, okay, why you probably actually attended, is to talk about the idea of what is aggressive versus assertive in the workplace. So far, you have seen that Tim and I have been very aggressive on this podcast episode about your future career planning.
Well, it's just because we
care. Right. So we're aggressive about outcomes and we're aggressive about planning and we're aggressive about our goals. But today, in regard to this topic, and this is kind of a different topic for us, I'm sure a lot of you, you know, because we work with clients who are like completely traumatized by previous cultural things in their organizations or
we had a CFO just 3 weeks ago leave his job because he was pushed down by a CEO in the meeting. They got into some argument about heated argument about finances, what you can do, what you can't do, being over leveraged. CEO got upset, pushed him down. The
pushed
CFO
him.
Pushed him
physically.
CFO quit. Yeah.
Okay. So that's aggressive.
That's aggressive.
All right. So I want to throw out a couple definitions. Okay. And I had to kind of reel myself in a bit because if I look at aggressive and assertive, seems to we get different definitions for aggressive in the workplace and assertive in the workplace. But so aggressive is an adjective that describes behavior or actions that are forceful, hostile, or assertively pushy. It can also refer to an intense or bold approach in various contexts, often with the intention of dominating or overpowering others. We love definitions, which is why I'm reading this, by the way, because before I ever talk about something, I want to know what's the general definition. In the workplace, aggressive refers to behavior or actions that are overly forceful and hostile, dominating, often at the expense of others. Assertive, an adjective that describes someone who is confidently and directly, who confidently and directly expresses their opinions, needs, or desires while respecting the rights and feelings of others. Assertiveness involves clear, honest communication that is firm but not aggressive. Specifically says not aggressive. So there's a duality right here, some, you know, totally opposite definitions. And Tim, do you consider yourself to be, now having heard those things, a good mix? We asked our team, this is a fun fact, we asked our team on our team meeting. Most of them didn't want to answer. I think we got two or three answers, and it said both, mm-hmm. both and both. Now, that was before reading the definitions, of course. So, I, you know, reading these and understanding myself, I think
that both definitely serve a purpose, but what do you think you are? Aggressive or assertive in the workplace?
Well, I definitely don't want to be aggressive because I'm looking at similar definitions, and it's talking about in expressing your thoughts, feelings, and needs in a way that is disrespectful. I'm like, man, I don't want to be disrespectful. Dominating.
You want to be in the market.
I don't want to be disrespectful in the market, right?
I want to be disrespectful.
Or harmful to others.
Well,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, hey, no definitions, right? That's the important thing. Hopefully, if you've been following along. But I think, you know, the topic today we're talking about, there's a fine line, right? I will say this with more of the aggressive piece. People need to be pushed.
Not physically.
In a boardroom over some financial numbers because you're over-leveraged, right? And the CFO wants to keep it safe. And the CEO wants to go all in.
Well, hey. One time somebody threw a phone at me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, so when... it wasn't me, okay?
Not him.
When we're talking about... So I think, hey, aggression, you know, does serve a place in the marketplace. You should be aggressive and show aggression towards your goals, right? You should push people to live up to their true potential because deep down people want that, right? People want to be pushed.
They may not realize it.
They don't realize it, but think about this. Everyone wants to get better, mm-hmm. right? But they need someone behind them, right?
Tell me a time in the military where you had
many times.
Okay, probably many, probably countless.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But something that really stands out as like something that you experienced from a higher rank that was truly aggressive.
Yeah, aggressive, yeah. But aggressive with a good purpose, okay? So I was in, I love story times. I was in field artillery school, right? Training to become an officer. And we were only there for like a couple days. And they're like, tomorrow, 80 pounds on your back, full gear, 4 a.m., we're going on a long hike. We call them road marches in the military, right? And we went like, I think 12 miles. The problem is, typically before we do this, there's typically like a train up, right? Like you don't just go run a marathon, right? You train up. The same thing with the road march. If you're not consistently having that backpack, you know, we typically do like 3 miles this week, 6 miles, you know, we kind of work towards it. It's like, no, we just showed up and it's like, boom, we're going. I don't remember. It was like 10, 12, 15 miles. Most of us were not prepared. You can be in shape. Road march is just a different animal. You got to prepare for it. So we're out there. Of course, the guy, if you haven't seen any Army movies, Army Ranger, all the tabs, all the skulls, doesn't care how you feel, doesn't care about anything, right? He was like, pick up your SHIT and let's roll.
Now, would you agree that he would never have been that decorated or in that position or have that rank had he not been aggressive in his
impossible
pursuit?
Impossible. So, you know, when we got done, he just took off and he was like, keep up with me. And literally like out of 70 people in my class, I think like 3 finished with him. And I was broken off about 80% there. I was like, man, I was hurting bad. And when we got to the end, he was very aggressive in nature and showed lots of aggression, saying that this is unacceptable. We're the leaders of the military. You can just imagine, right? But then he had a little soft spot at the end too, because he told a story of when they were in Afghanistan, how there were some people that weren't fit and how it impacted, mm-hmm. you know, and then it was a real life situation. So, you know, I think that you can be aggressive and show aggression as long as you let someone know, like, this is why this is so important, because he actually lost one of his team members because of, you know, this very thing. They kept having to slow down for this one person, and then they got attacked.
Do you think the military is going to struggle keeping aggressive leaders with the direction they're heading with this sort of soft culture we're entering? I don't want to go too far out, but we are entering this sort of like very soft culture situation, especially in the military. And I know people are asking you questions about that, and you and your other buddies talk about that, but What do you think is going to happen when they're not as aggressive?
I don't think much, because I think that the U.S. military is 100 times better than any other military in the world. So while I do agree it's getting extremely soft with physical training requirements and disciplinary stuff and all of this stuff, we're still leaps and bounds over any other military. So it's not good, right?
Now tell me about a time you had a leader. Okay, so hang on. You got to the end of the thing.
then how did you feel? Were you glad he was that aggressive?
I was, because he feels like you feel like you let someone down, right? That's not a good feeling, ever. You know, if you really care about what you're doing, hopefully you do. You have a purpose and you actually care about what you do in the marketplace or in the service or whatever. So I did care. And then, you know, it's those moments I have to go back and self-reflect and say, man, now I'm hard on myself, right? Mm-hmm. Why wasn't I prepared for that, right? Well, you know, there's normally train-ups and all this. No, you need to be prepared for anything at any time, right? So that got my, just me thinking a little differently about, you know, I need to be in better shape.
Since not everybody listening can relate to the military component, let's pivot this to the corporate conversation. So when you got out of the military, and some of you know Tim's story around why we even started ECU, was as a transitioning veteran, he couldn't find a job, right? Really struggled, mm-hmm. whatever. Anyways, he climbed the corporate ladder, in a sense, as a recruiter. Mm-hmm. And did you ever have leaders that were aggressive in a good way and for a good reason on site, or aggressive in a, you know, not good way? Like, how have you experienced aggressiveness in leaders in corporate?
Sorry if anyone listens to this for all of the corporate leaders that I had before, but I worked with a lot of very soft people.
Okay. And that, so that they were soft with the targets? Because in recruiting, they were, you have big targets.
You can't be soft in one thing and not like in other things. I feel like you're either... You're soft or you're hard, right? So like hard, you know, I care. It's the purpose. It's the target. We're going all in.
So they weren't even assertive.
Here's, you can't live your life where some things are important and a lot of other things aren't, right? You can't be lax in a bunch of areas and be like not lax in some areas. I think it's like more of a character trait. So a lot of the leaders that I had, you're right, weak targets, right?
So far in this, on this
not
podcast.
Not bad people. No. They're great people. Yeah. It's just, you know, you don't hold people to standards. You don't do this. You don't do that. You're not clear on the targets.
So it seems like in the conversation, we're leaning toward, we like aggressive, non-physical hostile with
yes.
clear assertive communication. So this is the fine line. So we're actually, you and I, creating our own definition of aggressive, because
yeah.
we're not even going to get into the conversation of physically abusive. Now, how have you ever experienced verbal aggression in the workplace? Like just a disrespectful, tearing you down, sort of a putting you down thing?
Not directly. Indirectly, though, here's what happened. I worked at one of the largest, Fortune 500 companies, right? And there was a time where we were, we did headhunting. And there was a time where our station manager, right? There's like a leader, but they still kind of close deals and recruit and everything. And there's all of us. Well, normally, I'm going to make a really short story. Hey, if you work at a Fortune 500 company, right, as a headhunter, you have to bring in the deals and you have to develop the talent, you know, recruit the talent to close the deals, right? So the leader had to do, she had the lead, and 25% was she also had to do a similar job to us. So basically she had a deal she couldn't find the person on. You know, I know she was getting frustrated, and she yelled one time out to the floor, because there's six of us, right? And she was like, everybody stop what you're doing right now.
I've heard you say that.
You need to find me a person, da 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 da, for this position. And it was just like very not pleasant, very aggressive. Right? Didn't feel good about it. Felt awkward, you know? So.
And it's not effective.
Definitely not effective. Everyone's like super uncomfortable.
Morale.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, how would you describe me? Well, now that we've had this discussion. Aggressive.
In what sense, though, right? There's many different things. Like, what do you mean?
Like, in my leadership style. When leading and developing people.
Yeah, I would say extremely soft, but extremely, what's the word I'm looking for here?
He said I should have been a sergeant major.
Well, because it's funny, we Christina coined this phrase, and I'm going to laugh at it for the rest of my life. It was like 4 months ago, and she said something like, you know, I'm just not a good feedback type of person, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And what I mean by this, it's not like you don't tell people you're doing a good job, is that you care so much that people live up to who they should be. Right? That you're hard on people and you're very critical on people, right? But you do it in a very soft approach. right? So it's kind of like,
it's
like, hey, you've been doing great, but here's where I need you to improve because of these reasons. And you told me it always realigns to your goals, right? You said you wanted to do this. You said you wanted to make this much money. You said you wanted to make this. So it's like, you're soft, but you're going to hold people accountable, right? So you have kind of a delicate way that you do that. I don't know how you do it, but it works.
Yeah, well, and I'm genuinely, I could work. Well, like now I have it on my calendar. If my team's listening, yes, it's because I marked my calendar. And it says daily positive feedback to the team. Now, that might not be everybody at once, but a DM on Slack, hey, I saw you did this, great job. Hey, how's it going? How's your day? Like, so that way, when I see that prompt you saw this morning, shouting out one of the clients, getting in and thanking the team for what they created on our wins call yesterday, 67 interviews in a week. Wow. And so I have to get intentional about that because of the way that I tend to be hardwired. And hardwired, I'm like, I always tell people don't call themselves to be hardwired at something because you can change and you can build skills. But I tend to be the kind of person, like I see the good, but I'm focused on like the problems and improvements and what could go wrong. And I think there's a place for that. And it can come off very aggressive. But again, like Tim said, I align that feedback to what I know is the core value and the goal. And it's like, okay, you said you wanted to operate this way and you want to be this kind of a leader. Well,
it's better too, because here's why. That's completely kind of the opposite of kind of how I've operate. We can agree that we have kind of different leadership styles.
I think we're totally opposite.
Exactly. And that's why we're able to make it work so well. You should not have someone else that like thinks the same way as you do. That'd be deadly, right? It really would. And when you pick, besides the marriage, right? When you pick a business partner, you want areas where they're deficient. You know what I mean? You want to complement each other, mm-hmm. right? And I think we do that very well.
Do we have any questions and comments so far?
Tim's in trouble now. Be careful what you say. Hey, Tim, be careful. I married myself. That's a lot of the comments were like that, but I didn't see it till after I said that.
I was actually getting ready to ask, well, how do you describe me as a wife, assertive or aggressive?
Yeah.
Both.
Aggressive. Well, life is not easy, right? Because it involves a lot of people. Right?
Life is not easy.
Life is not easy. It brings a lot of challenges.
You heard it here first.
It brings a lot of challenges. So,
well, and yeah, marriage. You
don't accept no for an answer any area of my wife's life. Okay?
Nope, I don't.
I hope you never have to go on an interview against Christina Madden because you might as well just tap out. So whether it's sales, whether it's something for our son Riker, whether it's something for our family, something for our house, you know, definitely, you know, everything has it's perfection almost or near perfection. That's what you expect every single time. Period. End of story.
And there are consequences to that in terms of like my stress levels sometimes. But yeah, I just don't take no for an answer. And the reason that I try to always be on top of everything is I know what my life looked like before that. Mm-hmm. It made me a drifter and a victim and somebody who didn't have any control over their outcomes or their emotions or their thoughts or anything. And so, yeah, I might have taken it to the other extreme, but...
rather have it on that extreme.
Yeah. And my son Riker, I don't talk about this a lot because sometimes when I do, I get these emails like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But our son, like I'm a special needs mom. He has autism and don't worry about us. Like we have a beautiful life. He thrives. He's amazing. He's so smart. He's starting VPK really soon. But if you are a special needs parent, you know this, you have to advocate, right? Because you'll get told no by every doctor, every therapist, every school, certain things you want. And I turned every single one of those no's into yeses because I know, here we go. Here's a key point. You guys are like, I want to talk about career and leadership. But the key point is that I go up the chain. I figure out who do I need to know. I go up and I find out who's the director, who's the regional director of these centers, and who's really running this state program, who's really responsible for the psychology department.
You know how to find the decision makers.
I find it's the same process. Yep. Have a great pitch, go in and build the relationship, who's the decision maker, and go in hard, like, and be aggressive, but not hostile. Yeah, it's the same thing. And
you've seen parents do this. I know we're talking about this kind of a little bit, but you know parents do this all the time to get their kids into schools, right? You want to get your kids into really good schools for my executives out there. the expensive schools, hey, sometimes you need more than just the money, right? Sometimes the college, sometimes you have the money for the college, or not college tuition, but the tuition of the expensive school, and your kid does have the grades to go to that school. It's still competitive.
I learned this lesson the hard way, guys. It is illegal to say, hey, our what was the word I used? Sizable donations accept. What about these sizable? No, like that's illegal. Be careful.
Yeah.
don't try to bribe your people.
But hey, there is ways that you need to do that. So back to this though. Back to this. Okay. So navigating between these, it's crucial to learn how to do this so that you can have these healthy relationships in the workplace, but more importantly, know how to effectively communicate. So we have that fine line, right? So when Christina was just talking about assertiveness again, right? Thoughts, feelings, needs directly, openly, and honestly while respecting others, right? So essentially what that means really is like understanding the purpose and the situation. Right? All the situations are going to be different, and we need to instill our purpose into our team of, hey, this is why this is important. This is why I need you to do this. This is how I need you to do it. This is how I need it to be reported on. So essentially, the more clarity, right, and consistency you can give your team around what your expectations are, et cetera, right, your assertiveness, right, it's going to serve you well. But additionally, hey, you are the leader of the department. People look up to you. Sometimes, you know, you are going to have to be, you know, I don't like the word aggression, but aggressive, right? It's your job to motivate and develop these people, and it's your job to lead your business unit or lead your company.
I want to give you guys some tips on, because there's no denying that in the workplace, especially when you're responsible for driving that bottom line and leading people, there sometimes can be high emotional charge. Some people really do struggle with the emotion of anger and frustration. Luckily, that's never been like a default. I've never really experienced that as a default. It can come and go for people. But in corporate America, that's a thing, right? So if you struggle with being too aggressive and you want to be more assertive, or you're going into a meeting and you're trying to stay calm and collective and you want to have clarity, here are some tips. This is one of my favorites.
Before we get into it, I just want to say, Alden said, Tim, just tell Christina that she is so wonderfully and beautifully made. Christina is aggressive in helping people and her clients succeed, but she is also soft, empathetic, and understands people's challenges when it comes to having success in your job search. You are the perfect definition of the fine line between aggression and assertiveness. So thank you, Alden. Appreciate it. All right, now let's get into
that. That was almost too beautiful. Did he chat GPT that? That was good writing. Thank you so much. And that's, you know, what I strive to do. So practice. Okay, here's again, if you missed this, some tips to stay assertive, not aggressive. So you're trying to stay calm, clear, collected, and influence your team in a positive way. Favorite one is practice active listening. And excuse me. And so often I hear people say, like, you know, people get complimented on this. You're such a great listener. You're such a great listener. And you've seen me do this. It's a skill. It's a skill I've developed. And I've actually, in real life, I don't even consider myself to be a great listener. I do try to be that, but I'm constantly jumping to solutions. But in business and in sales, listening is my thing, okay? Because I know that you can't get anywhere without being an active listener. So show that you value others by listening attentively before responding. Really drop out of the head and into the body and say to yourself, like, I'm going to get intentional about listening. This demonstrates respect and help ensure that your responses are balanced and considerate.
Well, one thing there before we go on to the next ones, look at anyone who's had a lot of success. We have the Gymshark. If you've seen the young kid who started Gymshark, just a phenomenal story, huge brand over the years. You can tell now.
Not a young kid. He still is young, but.
When he's asked the question, the same thing with Elon Musk and a lot of other successful people, you can see like they just sit there and they're like thinking about what the person said, mm-hmm. right? And the other thing, hey, the other tip with active listening, do me a favor. Hey, if you're on Zoom with someone, you're on with your team or whatever, when you're there, be there. And I struggle with this sometimes too a lot. Put the pen down. Stop, you know, doing all the other stuff during the meeting if you can. Yeah, I'm the worst at it. I'm sorry. Right?
Because he's in the head, right? You got to drop out of the head to the body.
Yeah. All right. I do want to say active listening too. We have different stuff on our
show. So if you find yourself that you're talking too much, like if you find yourself, this is in interviewing as well, not to go off on this tangent, you guys, this is a tangent. But in any situation, if you're the one doing all the talking, you can almost assume shit ain't going well. You can't be the one doing all the talking. I just came off the 10X Ladies event where, you know, Lara Trump was there and Sharon Lecter, which was a contributor to Rich Dad Poor Dad. And you had Brandon Dawson, Grant Cardone. You had Lauren Bostick with the Skinny Confidential. And you get all these people in the room and they're talking about, like, shut up and listen, you know? So that's something to think about. Ready for me to keep going?
Go ahead, yeah.
Using I statements. So frame your thoughts using I statements such as I feel, I think, or I need rather than you statements, which can come off as blaming and accusatory. So I like that. Or we statements. Staying calm and composed, so keeping your emotions in check. Who struggles with that, right? In high pressure situations. Tim, you want to talk on that for a second? So he's CEO. I'm not the CEO. And he's responsible for the bottom line. That's a high stress situation. Mm-hmm. And you are somebody that I really look up to in the area of, I was telling the clients yesterday about this, of keeping your emotions under control almost all the time about every single thing.
Well, you know,
this is all about taking deep breaths. I don't see you doing that, but how do you do it? You've gathered enough evidence that getting into high emotion doesn't get you anywhere.
I was fortunate, man, so fortunate. I love the U.S. military, and I learned just so much there serving 22 years. I just loved it. So one of the things we
Let me pause. So if you are a U.S. military veteran, or not veteran, but transitioning military person, we started this company out at first years ago. Understand that this is what he's about to say is why you should expand your mindset about why you're valuable in the marketplace and why companies value vets and why they make some of the best leaders versus like, oh, nobody's going to want me because I haven't been in corporate and I've only been in the military. That's such a misconception that we're about to squash it. But go ahead.
Yeah. So how do you stay, you know, this is a question all the time. How do you remain calm under pressure? Right? So the most difficult things in life come with the most simple damn explanations. And it's this, you just remain calm. Okay?
There has to be some other tactic.
No, follow me for a sec.
Come on now.
This is what you have to do. Now, to get better at it, you need to keep doing these things. Let me give you an example. One of the worst experiences in my whole freaking life, military vets, right, is going through the gas chamber. Okay? You have to go through a tear gas chamber. So, you know, tear gas, like if SWAT ever comes and, you know, downtown Chicago, they're shooting off tear gas just to spread it out. Tear gas is not fun. It's not a fun time whatsoever. So in the military, here's what happened. You want to feel safe that your equipment works and you know how to operate it, right? So what happens is you go in the gas chamber with your gas mask on, okay? You walk into the place. And then there's tear gas all around you, but you got your protective gear on. And then obviously the drill sergeant says, take off your mask, right? Take off our mask. It is not a pleasant experience. And then they say, all right, put your mask back on. So then they want you to put your mask back on, seal it, you're good. And then you do it again. They take it off and they basically...
Can that stuff kill you?
No. So then the second time they have you after you've resealed it, you take it off and you basically just kind of lie in agony for 2 minutes, right? But I'll get to the point here in a second. And then they let you out. But what I want to say is the military put me in so many uncomfortable situations because here's why. Like reacting to contact, like, you know, I deployed to Iraq, right? So, you know, you want to practice so many times these kind of intense situations so when they do pop off, right? So whenever you're rolling down the street, having a Coca-Cola, right, not thinking about whatever, and then you're engaged in contact and people are firing at you, you don't want as a military unit to everyone to freak out and not know what to do. So we essentially train so much on that that if we're ever attacked, we exactly know what to do. Hey, stop the vehicle, dismount, return fire. Is anyone injured? Call for help. What do I need? Right? So it's kind of like when you're forced to be put in all those situations so many times, that is what develops being calm.
Okay, don't go get any tear gas. but yeah, so I guess, and I do tell people this all the time, so now we know why Tim's emotions are bulletproof because of those situations.
And
but this is also why you see CEOs going out and getting their cold plunges and their you know, workouts and going on marathons and pushing themselves physically. They're looking for that same, they're reaping the benefits of that same discomfort and the repetition of being so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was on the extreme side, but okay. So that's how you stay calm is stay in uncomfortable situations and practice keeping your composure. I would give you something a little more practical here in the moment.
There's so many, right? I'm just saying like what I do, right? And I know this. So hopefully this helps you because what I'm learning is life is really simple and just people overcomplicate it so much in almost every area. It's like, say something happens to you, right? Well, what's the alternative now? Do you want it to just wreck your day, wreck multiple days because the decision maker didn't hire you back, you didn't get the same job? How is that going to help your situation? You get laid off today, you're going to say, woe is me. I put so much into this company. I did so much. How is that going to help your situation? So immediately when something happens to me, I'm like, what are we doing about it? And that's where I try to shift most of my attention to. Because here's what I know. Sitting and thinking about it and feeling sorry for myself does not help my situation. And then I got to ask again, Grant Cardone, this one time. And I said, hey, how do you overcome these very sometimes difficult situations that don't make you feel good, that we never hear about? And you remember this because I've told you a couple times, and he was like, just find a way to win. No matter what bad happens to you in your life.
So you know what our clients have coined this win. Now? Our clients have what? Coined, not that, they coined this all on their own because – you know, in the job search, you're going to face rejection, but they're working on having it affect them less and less. So instead of losing months and weeks and days and whatever, they're calling it the bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
So how long is it going to take you down?
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we determined that stuff takes you down for 45 seconds. We were making a joke. But then we were talking about, hey, like, are you going to let it go on an hour? Multiple hours, 2 days, like, and God forbid, people. I talk to people who've done it for years.
If you want to have success, right, massive success, one of the best things you can do is when something bad happens to you, you give yourself 5 minutes and then you move forward.
And I've seen you on some of your 5 minute breaks. You like to go on a walk, have some water. What do you do during your 5 minutes?
You gotta get out of your own head.
He did 5 miles on the treadmill this morning. Was your Peloton coach aggressive?
She was aggressive. Yeah. That's a goal.
Amazing.
I said. Yeah. But hey, you can't let stuff affect you.
Did anybody say in the chat that they like talk about their bosses at all?
No,
around
they didn't.
Negative experiences. Okay. No. So staying calm and composed, we're talking about that. Also, The Fearless Executive, I wrote that book. That's around controlling your emotions and remaining calm. That's available on Amazon. I think it's $4. Enjoy that. Let me know what you think. You want to be direct. You want to focus on solutions. You want to maintain, you know, great body language, positive body language, seeking feedback, know when to compromise, set clear boundaries, reflect, and adjust. So these are a way to remain assertive without being a hostile leader. Aggressive, but not hostile. So I don't know if we actually answered all your questions about the fine line between assertiveness and aggressiveness, but you guys certainly got our perspective on a few things. Anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, you just need to skill up, you know?
Skill up?
Yeah, get access to information out there, especially leadership. Here at Exec Upgrades, hey, we have a leadership and development course, so if you want information on that, you can email me at tim@execupgrades.com because we've learned so many things over the years. We got the 3 M's, the 3 T's, the five R's. We have, you know, there's just so many things that we've developed into these habit-based systems that we have stuff to fall back on. And
if you've just landed a job that you've never done before, or you're really nervous about how do you connect with the right people and how do you keep that job and how do you thrive in that position, we have a new program called The First 100 Days. Maybe we'll offer like a special promo on that or something at the emergency plan.
That too is, it's just one of the things of most people will end on this. Here's where most people fail when they start a new job in a leadership role. Number one, they don't get on the same page with their boss and they don't know how to do that. So they struggle. They don't know how to basically take over their team and set high expectations. Just those two things of not getting on the same page as your boss. And then number two, not coming in and taking your team over the right way and coming in and setting those expectations, clear expectations. That's where everyone struggles like so much. Like there's many more things, but just those two things, if you can make sure you get on the same page with your boss and you know how to do that and you know how to take over your team and really drive in and set those clear expectations, those are the biggest things. Every single person fails on that. Every person.
Yeah, because if you can't do those things, your skill set actually and your track record of success and all your amazingness and all the things that make you amazing. The clients that we work with, by the way, they are amazing. Their achievements are beautiful. All on paper, right? The things that they actually struggle with is the things that Tim just said. It's like, and it's,
well, it's hard
they're blind spots because you don't know what you don't know. So you go in thinking you're doing the best thing that you can do and you're just missing the mark. And it's actually kind of sad because brilliant people are failing.
Well, it's here's why. And I just was talking to one of our clients. She's CFO, has her CPA, worked at a very large company, I won't name it, and was responsible for just like billions and billions and like amazing career. Mm-hmm. But remember, being a great finance professional, even at a high level, there's so many more things. Getting a new role, totally different skill set. Developing a team, totally different skill set. You know, building culture through your business units, totally different skill set. And that's why a lot of leaders struggle in corporate America, because they're really good at tech, finance, ops, etc. But there's so many more components to do your job effectively.
Yep.
All right, so hey, thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Executive Career Upgrades podcast. Remember, hey, if you're not already a part of the ECU ecosystem, you don't have a plan, you might do a job, you're worried about the market, we highly encourage you to go over to careers.execupgrades.com/planning, secure your seat on the August 27th event at 7 p.m. Eastern, and I hope to see you there.
Bye, everyone. Have a great one.
Have a great day.